What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your co-host here, Christian Morales, here with my buddy, my good friend, my brother. Introduce yourself, my friend.
What's up, y'all? I'm Ant, and I am your current and longest reigning WWE pay-per-view champion of all time. I cannot wait to defend my title against you, sir, this Saturday at the Royal Rumble. We also have a surprise entrance too, which we'll find out when we record. But yeah, Royal Rumble predictions coming up soon. Royal Rumble is that way, but we're not here to talk about the Royal Rumble. No, we're here to talk about what Sir Takeover. I'm gonna be awesome, by the way. I'm gonna be eating my ice cream. Well, it's not an ice cream sandwich, it's a strawberry shortcake. But yeah. So I'm not looking 100% Christian, so you're gonna have to be killing it today because I don't know, my hair's not doing too good. Not doing so well, everybody. But anyways, kill it, my friend. Takeover. I'm glad to be here with you. And I'm thankful for everyone tuning in. And Christian, go on and kill it, sir. I'm ready.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, man. All right, well, let's get into it. So we're gonna talk about AEW Dynamite on January 18th, 2023. Before we get too much into the show here, I just wanna start out with talking about the obvious. We're recording this a week later. But we know that a lot of the AEW talents are dealing with sadness, followed by the passing of Jay Briscoe. Who died last Tuesday in a car accident. I just want to say, all right, rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. One of my favorites in Ring of Honor. Huge fan. Prayers to his family, his friends. Excited to see fucking Mark Briscoe wrestle tonight. Holy shit, that's awesome. So this episode was a little more us kind of, you can feel the energy not too much there tonight. Let's start the show. So they're live. Oh, do you have something to say? Sorry.
Oh no, I'm just gonna say the same like you said, rest in peace. That's all. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No,
So they're
you're
live at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. There was a graphic shown in the beginning to honor Jay Briscoe. But it's Wednesday night and you know what that means. Caliber welcomes us to the show with Taz and Tony Schiavone. The first match of the night. Sorry, I gotta take my headset off here. That's having technical difficulties, but this is the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. So it's okay. One second.
Fresno, California.
Okay. So you might not be able to see my face for a little bit, but that's all right. So we started off the Dynamite with the All Atlantic Championship match, Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal. This match was originally supposed to be on Rampage, but I'm guessing they just didn't put the match on Rampage. I don't know why, but I could have sworn it was supposed to be on Rampage. Lethal had a Briscoe on his left arm to tribute to Jay. I'm happy, they did that, Well, we'll talk more about that later, but let's talk about the match. They exchanged moves to start the match with Cassidy getting a pinfall attempt for two. Lethal punches Orange off the apron to the floor. Danhausen, we haven't seen show up on AEW in a little bit, shows up to check the tickets of Lethal's friends, and then the best friends show up to sit ringside. Lethal was on the floor for about 45 seconds with the referee not counting him out. They never fucking do this. I don't know why. Orange Cassidy hits Jay Lethal with a suicide dive back into the ring. Lethal blocked a DDT and sends Cassidy throat first into the top rope, where Lethal tosses Cassidy out of the ring, leading to Jay tackling Cassidy back into the ring apron, followed by Lethal sending Orange into the ring post. Lethal hits a suplex followed by a chin lock. They exchange a little more with Cassidy hitting a cross body block off the top rope. Lethal caught Orange Cassidy coming off midair, hits him with the lethal combination, gets a pinfall at 10 for 2. Orange got up for 2 and rolled, and Orange Cassidy hits an orange punch for the win. Last match. Oh my God, I can't fucking talk. I apologize. The match lasted around 10 minutes, and then your winner and still your All-Atlantic champion, Orange Cassidy. I thought the match, I didn't think it was too good. I think this was a match that they should have just kept on Rampage, because no one was interested in this match. and no one was going to be interested in it anyway. You know, I don't know what they're trying to do here with Orange Cassidy. We see him getting. Listen, I know he's the All Atlantic champion, but I don't think that title really means shit yet. You know, I don't care too much about Orange Cassidy. Don't care too much about the title. I just think Jay Lethal's one of those guys who puts on outstanding matches, and he's just one of those people that's there to put over talent when he should be the one getting over himself. I don't know. It was just good. They have good chemistry. They've worked together in the past. I just want to see Jay Lethal do some other shit. But real quick, before I ask about what you thought of the match, after the match, Jeff Jarrett went into the ring and smashes Cassidy with his guitar, but Dutt stopped that, and then Orange Cassidy did his comedy kicks to Dutt, but Dutt back out of the ring. And then because. The reason I'm saying that is because Saheem Singh grabs both the best friends. Sorry if I mispronounce his name. I can never mispronounce his name. But it seems like there's more tense between this rivalry. So the reason I'm mentioning that is I don't think we're gonna see this rivalry end right away. I think we are gonna see something, maybe on Rampage. But what do you think about this match? What do you think about Cassidy and Lethal?
I didn't care. Cassie's boring me now. Like at first he was funny with the whole stupid kicks and stuff, but like you can't really take him seriously. Jay Lethal is great at what he does, but again, he's just basically putting other people over and they're not really using him. I think the best that they can use him. They definitely can use him in different spots. But also I'm done with Jeff Jarrett. I'm done with Saddam Singh. I don't care about this group. I don't care about Sanjay Dutt. Again, this should have been saved for Rampage. I agree with you. Nothing really special here, and I agree the AEW Atlantic title means absolutely nothing. It's just corny. It's very gimmicky, boring. That's just how I felt about it.
I agree 100%. It's kind of just one of those titles that, you know, it's should just stay on Rampage. But I'm happy we're finally seeing, because I feel like the TNT title was that title, you know, we just saw on Rampage. Like, for example, Jade Cargill with the TBS title, she doesn't fucking do anything with that. So it's kind of just like one of those another titles where it's the same champion who doesn't lose. I don't know. But let's talk about another match here. Tag team action. The Young Bucks versus Top Flight. Now, this match was very, very good. I thought this match was good, but I was upset with the finish, and we'll talk about that. So, it's a battle between two brothers. They do a lot of fucking flips. Both teams like to do that. So, we saw that in the first 30 seconds of the match, and then Nick Jackson tags Matt in, and Darius hits a bulldog trip combo. Dante tagged in with a clothesline, Darius with a suplex, Dante with the senton, and then a double team dropkick. The Young Bucks dropkick Darius onto the turnbuckle. Double super kick by the Young Bucks to Dante against the turnbuckle. Nick with a kick to the head of Darius, and Nick hit a backstabber on Dante, and he sat in the middle turnbuckle for 15 seconds, where we went into pitcher in pitcher break. The commercials, or I'm sorry, I'm happy that they're doing pitcher break again, like I always mention. I like to see them do the action and not just go to commercial break. But the Young Bucks were in control when they came back after the pitcher in pitcher, where Darius tags in, hits a couple punches and a clothesline, and hits a flying splash. And then a suicide dive by Darius onto the illegal man on the floor, which was Nick Jackson. Darius jumped off the top with a cross body block on Matt for two. Nick tagged in with a super kick on Darius. Dante tagged in. Matt tagged back in, and Matt caught Dante for a move, but Darius tripped up Nick to stop that. We see a lot of more high action here as we go into the match. And then later, we see Dante sets both Bucks out of the ring, tries a move onto the floor, but the Bucks hit a double super kicks. Darius avoided the double knee attack, and Darius pinned Matt while hooking his legs for the win at a pinfall. 1-2-3, and your winner is Top Flight. This was an upset win. Top Flight getting the win over the Young Bucks. Of course, they are the Trios Tag Team titles along with Omega. I thought this was a really good match. A lot of high flying, a lot of gymnastic stuff. We haven't seen Top Flight really compete on Dynamite in a fucking very long time. I noticed they are always on Dark or usually on some of the YouTube shows, not even Rampage that much. But they did a Briscoe Brothers tribute after the Young Bucks losing. It felt like a big deal to watch because again, you don't see this team on TV as much. So good way to put this young tag team ahead, and maybe they can be some serious competitors in the AEW tag team division. But what do you think about this match, and what do you think do you think we can see more of Darius and Dante Martin in the future?
I think this is a really great match. I think these two teams worked really well together because they're both brothers, so they're both gonna want to make each other look good. I thought it was just, there were a lot of flips to it, but I did enjoy it because I feel like this is the first time we've seen these two teams go at it, right? So I think it was a lot of fun. I did think the right team won. The Young Bucks don't really need this win. I feel like
Right.
at this point, Top Flight needed more than Young Bucks. And you know what? Maybe we'll get to see Top Flight even turn heel. Maybe they'll start to brag about the win. Who knows? But there's a lot of potential. Top Flight is an amazing tag team. Young Bucks are a great team. They're the Trios Tag Team Champions, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so who knows? But yeah, I think this match stole the show, obviously. We knew that was going to happen, probably. But I definitely 110,000% enjoy this match. And Top Flight has a big future ahead of them. And the Young Bucks are already solidifying themselves as a great tag team. So great, great match, 100%.
Well, let's talk about, speaking of great tag teams, let's talk about, and heels, let's talk about our next segment, and let's hear from the Guns. Colton and Austin made their entrance to give a promo when they claimed that the acclaimed, popular, and even gave their dad, Billy Gunn, some attention here, where the Acclaim, Max Caster and Bowens, made their entrance. The Guns tried to cut them off, but Caster told it to shut Austin's microphone off and hit his music, and as Max Caster did his rap, and they rapped about how they only have jobs here because of their dad, which is not wrong. But Caster and Bones went into the ring to fight with the Guns. Billy went into the ring to break up the fight and pulling them apart. Billy said that next week they're gonna sit down and hash it all out. Guns said that he had two words for them. As the crowd chanted, "Suck it," Billy Gunn said, "Family therapy," and then they all left. This was weird. I don't ever want to see the Guns ever beat the Acclaim for the tag team title. I don't think they're gonna get along. I think this will set a match between them at the upcoming pay-per-view, which is on March, I want to say 6th or 8th, Revolution in San Francisco. I do think that's, and maybe, I don't know, we see these teams feuding a lot. It's always usually corny. We see these two teams usually talk more, like do more of the talking and less of the wrestling. But it's kind of what catches my eye here is that Billy Gunn didn't let the Acclaimed, go after his sons, and I get it, it's his sons, but they are not on good terms. So what do you think here? We are recording this 40 minutes before, the episode. So I'm serious. I want, 'cause this is a good time to like get your reaction to this. And I thought, what do you think's gonna happen tonight on this family therapy here? And do you think we're gonna either see the Acclaimed versus the Guns, or do you maybe think we'll see them, go back to the old days where they were all along, getting along? What do you think? Do you think this is weird?
I think it's weird, but I have a feeling we might get like a swerve with Billy Gunn turning on Acclaimed,
Ooh.
and going with the Gun Club. Family therapy. The Acclaimed isn't his family.
Right, I agree.
Like family, yeah. So I honestly think at this point, they need to do something with this storyline because I just feel like it's not entertaining. That's just my opinion. Like, I feel like there's a lot of more.
I think the Acclaim's entertaining. I don't think
The
this
Acclaimed is,
segment is
yeah. The
entertaining at all.
storyline is just like not doing anything for me, and I think we need to do something with it. Hopefully, family therapy will last. We see of this storyline, but it probably won't be. But, you know, I guess I'm just excited to kind of see what happens in terms of, I like the Acclaimed, I like the raps. But other than that, it's just kind of like, eh. I feel a lot of this show, a lot of All Elite Wrestling, I'm not talking shit about it, it's very gimmicky. You know, there's some points that are like, oh, shit. But a lot of it is gimmicky and very cartoonish. But it's okay.
I agree. Trust me. Well, let's talk about a backstage segment between a man who I've talked a lot of shit on in my almost 4 years here watching AEW. Coming up on 4 years watching AEW. I this is one man who I've talked a lot of shit on, but I'm starting to grow a little bit. Let's talk about Hangman Adam Page. Who was shown talking to Renee Paquette backstage, with him saying that he was feeling fine. He spoke about his win over John Moxley, saying that at least he got something by beating Moxley, even though it's not the AEW world title. Renee said that John Moxley, aka her husband, believes that Paige and himself push each other. Paige talked about knocking out Moxley last week. Renee asked Paige where he needed to go from here. Paige said he needs to mend some fences and didn't want to get too specific after it looked like he was done. Paige asked Renee how he was. Renee said he's been hurt with something for the past 10 years she's known him, so he'll dust it off and be okay. And then Paige wanted to ask her something else, and then stopped himself right away and then moved along. I think it looked to me here that Adam Hangman Page is concerned about, you know, him hurting Moxley. But I think he's also happy about it as well, as, you know, he should be, because Moxley gave him a bad concussion that, you know, caused him to be out for several weeks. But I just think they're just going to do a rematch at Revolution if they can fucking wait, which I hope they do. But what do you think about the segment here with Hangman Adam Page? Nothing too much, but do you want to see him maybe do another match with Moxley at the next pay-per-view, or are you kind of just over this whole thing?
I liked it because I was kind of confused. I didn't understand, like, what Page, like, wanted to say. Was he looking to make amends? Was he looking to challenge him again? Is this all of Paige's plan to kind of like fuck with John Moxley? I don't know. It left me with a lot of different questions. I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between the two at Revolution, but I don't know what's going to happen. I have a feeling like Paige is going to want to tag team with Moxley. I don't know. It's weird. The way he went about it, he asked her, like, you know, is he okay? And it looked as if he was going to say, like, can we talk? And I don't know. But yeah, what do you think? They would be a good team?
No. No. Not at all. I do not. That'd be bad. Let's talk about speaking of teams though. Let's talk about, well, not really teams, but you'll see why I see teams in a second. Let's talk about Ricky Starks versus Jake Hager of the Jericho Appreciation Society, where he makes his entrance with Chris Jericho joining the commentary for his match. Starks took Hager's hat early on, and then Starks walked to the ropes until Hager caught him in his arms. Ricky Starks sent Jake Hager out of the ring. Then Starks got a hold of excuse me. Oh, fuck, I had a burp. I apologize. Jake Hager put his purple hat on again as he sent Ricky Starks into the barricade. They went to a pitcher-in-pitcher, where they came back and the match continued with Ricky Starks hitting a springboard crossbody block onto Hager, followed by a clothesline. Hager with a double boot to the face. Hager with a Hager bomb that missed for a two count. And Starks hit a tornado DDT off the ropes for a two. Matt Menard and Angelo Parker try to get involved in the match. Fuck. I apologize. They try getting involved in the match. Starks managed to outsmart them both, and then Starks hits Hager with a spear for the win. 1, 2, 3, and the match lasts about another 10 minutes. I just thought this was I knew Ricky Starks was going to win this match. He's getting a big push here. I don't understand because, you know, he did lose the AEW world title, but I know he wasn't going to win against MJF. But I don't know. Maybe they can push Hager. Maybe Hager should just do the MMA. Because he's being booked here. He's losing every single match he's in. They only showed. Holy shit, why do I have to burp? I apologize. But they only showed half this match, like in regular matches, and they showed like majority of the match in picture and picture. So this match was, I didn't care about it too much as I loved Ricky fucking Starks. Jericho on commentary's cool as always. He's funny. This match just looked kind of stupid in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the whole focus of the match is Jake Hager's hat, and I just feel like it's stupid. I do like Ricky Starks. He's awesome. Like, I mean, that's the whole focal point of the match is his fucking purple hat. Ricky Starks is good. I'm starting to really like him. Again, like you said, you knew Ricky was going to win this. There's no, you know, chance of him losing. But again, it's like these matches happen. There's no aftermath to it. So it's just kind of like, okay. So again, I like Ricky Starks, but kind of pointless. Just another way to kind of put him over against someone like Jake Hager, who you kind of know he's going to lose against.
I agree. Jake Hager, man, and I don't mind him. Like he's good on the mic. His lips is a little gets annoying, but you can't help that, obviously. But I think he's good on the mic. But real quick, because I this isn't anything we're gonna talk about. I just want to mention because I have an obsession with this man. A video aired about Adam Cole announcing his return to action last week on Dynamite after dealing with a concussion. So happy to see Adam Cole back. Real quick, or what do you think about Adam Cole coming back here? Are you excited? Who do you want to see him fight first? I
Well,
want to see him fight. I don't know. We kind of left. I want to see him fight Kenny Omega.
Okay. I'm happy to see. I'm definitely happy to see him, Adam Cole, back because he's one of my favorites. So I'm happy to see him back. As far as opponents, if he's gonna be a good guy, I kind of want to see him fight like a Kenny Omega, maybe like a Pac.
Ooh,
Aleister
that'd be a good
Black. I
match.
know he
That'd
had a
be a
great
good match.
match. Like, I'm sorry, Malakai Black. I know he had a great match with Malakai Black in NXT. I don't know. I kind of want to see him come back though with his faction. Like, I know he's a good guy, but Adam Cole, I think, is
Well,
much
you gotta
better.
think about his faction. One member of his faction's hurt. One member of his faction's not even with the company anymore.
Oh yeah, that's right, Bobby.
Fish isn't even. Yeah, he's either an Impact or he's doing MMA. One of the two. Conor O'Reilly's fucking hurt, been hurt. He has had like some major surgery, and it kind of sucks because all three of them got hurt at the same time, and they left off with them turning on the Elite. So it kind of, I don't think we're ever gonna get to really finish that storyline. And it was just starting, but it's whatever. I'm happy to see Adam Cole back, but after we talk about this segment here, we're coming up on our first break. But real quick before we talk about our next match here, there was a backstage interview by Tony Schiavone with Jericho Appreciation Society members Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Daniel Garcia. Chris Jericho challenges Ricky Starks to a tag team match next week on Dynamite, with him and Action Andretti, with Jericho teaming with Guevara. That led to Garcia saying he wanted the spot. Sammy said that Garcia could have it if he beats Andretti on Rampage. They agreed to it. Sammy also gifted Garcia some leather pants. Spoiler alert, because I don't give a fuck, because we're recording this 30 minutes before the show, and no one gives two shits about Rampage. Danny Garcia did not win the match. Action Andretti won. So tonight it will be Guevara and Jericho versus Andretti and Starks. But that's not important. Let's talk about this match here that I thought was fucking amazing here before we take our first break. Bryan Danielson versus Bandito. The story is that Bryan Danielson has to win every match on Dynamite until Revolution, so he gets his title match against MJF in a 60-minute Iron Man match. Both guys had Jay armbands to tribute Jay Briscoe. Real quick, I know a lot of these guys are doing the Jay Briscoe armband thing, and I respect the hell out of it. The only thing I'm saying about it is, if you didn't know the guy like that, like these two did, because I'm saying it because a lot of guys in W, they were letting, like, I've seen a lot of guys in the wrestling world wear him, and like, I know you're just paying tribute to a good man in the wrestling world, but like, there's some guys that really, really knew him. So I don't know. I just feel like they're doing it, doing too much with it. But
yeah.
Again, full respect. But Brian Danielson got a hip toss takedown into trapping the legs and turning it into a pin attempt with Bandido kicking out. Bandido hooked his legs back into Brian's legs and then did a surfboard submission, but Brian got out of that. Brian did his own surfboard attempt and instead stomped out of the back of his legs. Bandido kept doing some handgun shots at him. Brian with a running shoulder tackle, then a sunset flip attempt, and Bandido held on the hands, leading Brian Danielson, pulling him off with headbutts. They're doing a lot of technical wrestling in this match, which is good to see, a lot of submissions. Bandido hit a unique submission, pulling on the arms, and then Brian to the floor, and Bandido hits a suicide dive. We go to the pitcher and pitcher break, where we come back to Bandido launching Danielson into the air and then drives him into the mat first, almost flattening his face into the fucking mat. And the fans started chanting, "This is awesome," as both of them were exchanging chops. Danielson hits uppercuts and then kicks to the body, and then Bandido hits a super kick. Brian Danielson applied a lapel lock submission, but Bandido tried to fight it. Brian Danielson kicks Bandido in the chest repeatedly with the C, which means yes, but you know, he's kind of just mocking Bandido. Brian hits Bandido over the top to the floor, followed by Brian hitting running boots to the chest. Bandido hits a fall away slam off the top with Bandido landing on him, and then Bandido hits a super kick, and then Bandido tried to move, but Brian got a knee to the face. 1, 2, 3, Brian or Danielson wins the match here. I thought this was a really long match, but it was amazing. Amazing. Bandido did a fucking hell of a show, did a hell of a performance, excuse me. I thought it was better than Brian versus, who did he fight last week? That New Japan dude he fought last week. I thought it was better than that one. He did better than that one. That dude, I forget his name. I apologize. They all sound the fucking same, if I'm being honest.
Oh, Kaniski.
Yeah, he I like him, but you know, Brian Danielson's gonna win the match, obviously, due to the stipulations. But we saw this match was very technical. We saw a lot of submissions. We saw a lot of kicks. I'm happy. I was very happy with this match. I thought this was the match of the night. Bandido, we don't see him a lot on TV, but I thought he performed very well, and I'm familiar with some of his other stuff outside of AEW. But what did you think about this match? You know, we know Danielson's getting the wins here to set up the 60-minute Iron Man match. What do you think here?
I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a very good match. I think that Danielson always looks great. Bandido, I don't really know much about him, so I can't, you know, it's my first time really seeing him, and they both did a really great job. Holy shit, I gotta take care of that. Let me take care of this, but yeah, that was a great match, but I gotta take care of this. Go ahead, keep on talking.
No, you're good. While Anthony takes care of this, I'm just gonna, because I know he's not too familiar with Bandito, I'll just give you a little. So he was good in the Ring of Honor days. Back, we don't have too much time here. He was good, for those of you who are not familiar with him. Ring of Honor guy, very good, high flyer. If any of you guys care, watch his match with Shane Taylor at Ring of Honor Steel City Excellence 2019. Really, really good match. Or watch him and Rush that him and Rush match from like 3 years ago, on Ring of Honor. Again, watch that if you care, because he put on a good show. But we have some time here before our first break, and I'm just going to talk about after the match. There's a message from our AEW World Heavyweight Champion of the World, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, saying he hears people saying he's not deserving of this position in the company. MJF claimed that after he's given the fans, they're all fickle. MJF said that he likes to have some fun, but the closer you get to March 5th at Revolution, the more MJF's mask will slip off. MJF said that Danielson does not want that and claimed that nobody does. MJF said even the dragon doesn't want to match with the monster behind the mask. Just another promo with MJF trying to make himself look like a threat, even though he barely wrestles anybody. And we're just going to see the match. So real quick, Anthony, before we take our first break, what do you think about MJF's promo here? And how do you feel about, do you want to see this match happen at Revolution?
Yeah, I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see MJF and Bryan Danielson again. I don't know if I really want to see it for an hour, but you know, I mean, it's definitely, the buildup has been very good. So yes, I'm excited to see this. But yeah, we have less than a minute, so I'm gonna throw it back to you. I'm definitely excited to see this match though. Bryan Danielson, I hope he wins. But
absolutely, man. So we're gonna take our first break now, but when we come back, we're gonna talk about something interesting here. A little twist in the AEW women's division between Saraya, Toni Storm, and Akira Shida. So, well, when we come back, we'll talk more about them three. But a little twist.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm still Christian. That is still Ant. And before we went to our first break here, I was talking about some little bit of a change. So this was very interesting, Anthony, and me and you talked a little bit about this off the air before we started recording, but they showed Saraya, Toni Storm backstage. I'm sorry. They showed Saraya, Toni Storm, and I always mispronounce this bitch's name.
Hikaru Shida
talking about last week. Saraya and Storm complained about AEW original women that don't like them being around. They weren't happy about Shida using a kendo stick last week that cost them the tag team match. Toni Storm is in action next, and Saraya told Shida to stay in the back. I thought it was, you know, I thought Shida was gonna be the one to go heel, but I guess Saraya and Toni Storm are gonna go heel now, and she's gonna team with Baker and Hayter. I don't know, it's kind of weird, but we know that as of right now, Dr. Britt Baker is hurt. I got the news like three like an hour ago, honestly. So that kind of changes everything. So maybe we'll see Shida step in with Hayter if we do see this rivalry go more. But what do you think about Saraya and Toni Storm going heels? They've been baby faces for, I think Toni Storm has been a baby face her entire fucking career. So I think it's good. I've wanted to see Paige Saraya go heel for a long time.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think about them going heel?
I'm happy to see it. I'm glad there's a different storyline in the women's division. I think it's different. The division is usually just like good guy versus bad guy. Now we have a storyline where it's like, I think the women division in AEW sucks. We are the better women because we came from a different company. I'm more interested in that than seeing Nyla Rose versus Jamie Hayter. You know, like, at least there's more to the storyline. I'm excited to see Toni Storm and Saraya as bad guys, though. I'm excited for the heels to take over. Saraya is a great heel, and Toni Storm, I think she was a heel for a little bit in NXT, but
was she?
Yeah, for a tiny bit. But she really didn't do well with it. But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I think she'll probably do better now that she has her own opportunity, her own voice on AEW. But I'm excited to see these two girls go heel. And yeah, Britt Baker, she's a homegrown AEW girl, so you know, definitely take a shot against them. So yeah, that's what I think.
Nice. I don't know. I don't know. We don't see too much with them, but well, we are gonna see. I did mention that Toni Storm was in action, and she is up in action right now with Saraya versus Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale was in control with a shoulder block, a belly to back suplex, and a flying cross body. Toni Storm was frustrated, so she slapped and kicked the shit out of Willow Nightingale, which forced her to go down. Toni Storm did a running hip attack to knock off Willow off the apron to the floor, where Shida went to the ring with a candlestick as Storm sent Willow Nightingale to the barricade, where they went to the pitcher-in-pitcher break. Willow Nightingale was in control with two straight splashes into the corner with a lariat and a kick. Willow hit Storm with a spine buster for a two. Willow hit a drop kick for middle rope. Storm avoided a corner charge, and Storm hit a hip attack in the corner. Willow got a roll up for two. After she hit the DDT, Willow bounced off the top ropes to knock Toni Storm down. Willow Nightingale hits a cannonball into the corner for a two count. Saraya then goes up into the apron, and Toni Storm hits a roll up of death on Willow Nightingale for a pinfall. One, two, three. It sucks. I thought this match sucked. It was a cheap ending by Toni Storm. We saw Willow Nightingale take so much control of this match. She looked so good. She looked probably one of the best I've ever seen her in a long time. Match wise, she wrestled really good. Saraya and Toni Storm not lacking the AEW original women. It's kind of stupid. You don't get to just come into a new company and just say this is your house. Willow Nightingale, Toni Storm, or not Toni Storm, Willow Nightingale, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, like those are the AEW originals right there. Like you can't, and post match, Saraya attacks Willow Nightingale from behind, and Toni Storm join her when then Ruby Soho makes the save. Again, Ruby Soho's not a AEW original either, but it's still cool to see her, not be a heel. It was just a heel turn. That's all it was. My question to you is, what's next here? Do you think, because we know that Jamie Hayter has the championship, but we know this is kind of a team rivalry thing, so do you think Jamie Hayter defends her championship? What do you think? What's gonna happen here? I don't know what's gonna happen here, if I'm being quite
So
honest.
I agree with you. I don't know what's gonna happen here, but I do think that Toni Storm, there's obviously gonna be someone who is a former wrestler outside of AEW that's gonna side with the AEW women, that being Ruby Soho. But there's gonna have to be someone else to group up with Saraya and Toni Storm. So I wonder who that is. You're gonna see Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm again. And maybe eventually down the line you'll see Saraya and Tony, or I'm sorry, Saraya and Hayter. But I just don't think Saraya is ready for that yet. But I do think we'll get another Storm versus Hayter, because it's going to be, group versus group. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the ladies in AEW. Finally, they're getting some sort of prominence in my eyes, at least.
Oh, my mic was muted. No, I agree. I just don't know what's next here. We don't have an AEW like women's tag team titles. Don't get any fucking ideas, Tony Khan. Don't do it. We already have enough pointless titles. Coming up next is our main event, and it is Darby Allin defending his TNT title against Canu I can't pronounce it. Tashida, is this his dude's name? I can't pronounce this fucker's
Kushida.
name. I can't. I'm not. I'm gonna be honest. This is one New Japan guy I'm not too familiar with.
Kushida was in NXT for a
He was in
while.
NXT. What was he?
Yeah.
It's I thought he was a New Japan guy. Ooh, I don't remember. But did he have another name?
No, he was Kushida in NXT too.
Oh shit. I'm the wrestling, my wrestling brain just took a shit. But anyway, Kushida was making his AEW debut. He's a small guy. He's about like 170. Darby's about like 170. So this was a good match. I thought it was, at least. Darby Allin hits a right shoulder tackle and then hits a double leg trip, and then they do a bunch of armbar submissions on each other. Darby Allin avoids, going on the floor, and then sends Sheeta into the barricade, back into the ring. Kushida kicked the left arm and then worked over Darby's arms, and then Darby jumped over, charging at him, and then he went for a back attack, but then Sheeta kick or went for a kick. Darby Allin avoided it, and Allin hit a code red move into a pin attempt for a two count. Darby jumped off the top with a cannonball onto Sheeta's friends from LA Dojo. Kushida hit a running armbar to the floor. Don't worry, Anthony's mom. I'm making this very, very quick. Darby Allin fired off with some forearm shots. He took some rough bumps here. The referee was doing a slow count as they both went out of the ring. They both got into the ring, went onto the apron. They both went to the top rope with Sheeta hooking onto the left arm, leading into a suplex off the top rope. Sheeta applied a hoverboard lock onto Darby's left arm. Darby got out of that, hooked the legs for a Last Supper bridge back for a pinfall attempt winner. And you're still your AEW TNT champion, Darby Allin. I thought it was a really good match with Sheeta on the offense most of the part. He did a lot of stuff with that left arm, but Darby was able to counter most of it. They're both, like I said earlier, they're both two small dudes. They both don't even weigh 200 pounds, so I knew there was going to be a lot of high flying, a lot of bullshit that can I like a lot of people like to come at for not it being wrestling, just a bunch of stunts. But I thought Darby was selling it. The match ended. Both shared some respect for each other, gave each other a handshake. So real quick before we end this show here, and we get ready to watch Dynamite in 7 minutes, what do you think about this main event here? And we know what's next for Darby. He's gonna do some more open challenge matches. But who would you like to see step up to the plate and fight Darby Allin for the TNT title?
I want to see someone who we haven't seen in a long time. Miro, we haven't seen his ass in a long time. And I know they fought before, but I don't
Ooh.
know. I just want to see someone new. I'm tired of seeing the same people. But Darby Allin did really have a good match with Kushida. I don't know. I feel like we're going to get random people up into Revolution. Who do you think he's going to fight?
I kind of agree. I think we're gonna get random people up to Revolution, but I don't know who they would put him against at Revolution, if I'm being quite honest. So we're just gonna have to keep watching. Real quick, before we end it, my question to you is, what do you think the moment of the night was? It could be your favorite match, it could be your favorite segment, it could just be something specific that caught your eye. But what to you was your favorite part about this episode of Dynamite?
Two things, the Young Bucks in Top Flight tag match and seeing Saraya and Tony Storm turn heel. Those are the two things I was most excited about, and those are the two things, the continuations I want to see with this episode of Dynamite coming up.
For me, and that's really good. I'm gonna say Bandido versus Danielson. Like I mentioned, I'm very familiar with Bandido from watching his old Ring of Honor days. So happy to see him have a good match. Not just a good match, but having a good match with one of the best fucking technical wrestlers in the world, Bryan Danielson. So this was a good Dynamite. We're 25 days in. Tonight is the last Dynamite of the month. I think so far, in 2023, so far I think AEW is doing really well. I just hope they continue to do a little bit more better on these storylines and a little bit better booking this year. See more of our champions, maybe get rid some of championships. But my real quick, Anthony, my final question to you is, what Do you think this last month has been good for AEW so far in the start of 2023, and are you excited to see what they're going to do, for the remainder of the year? And we're not even, like I said, we're only a month in. We have a big pay-per-view coming up in 2 months. Well, what do you think here? Are you excited for the future of AEW?
I like this year so far. Every Dynamite has, there's been a match or a moment that's been really good. So I like that. I'm excited for AEW, with Vince McMahon back in WWE, who knows what that means for that company. But AEW is going strong. They're building up their own empire. And I'm just excited to see what's to come. There's a lot more happening. We got Revolution coming up, like you said, in 2 months. I'm excited for this week in wrestling because we got the Royal Rumble this Saturday. I know it's WWE. I almost dropped the title. I will defend my WWE pay-per-view championship because I am the greatest WWE pay-per-view champion of all time. I am the hot commodity, and I will defeat you gladly at Royal Rumble. And we have a promo battle coming up on Monday for Monday Night Raw, so get ready for that.
We do. Well, hey man, this concludes our AEW Dynamite recap. Anthony, I just want to thank you for allowing me to do this, my man. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for joining me. We got some good stuff coming, like he mentioned, like we talked about Royal Rumble coming up this Saturday. So we got our predictions coming out, so stay tuned for that. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Stay safe, everybody. Have a good one. Stay uncensored.
Bye, everybody. Yes, stay uncensored. Bye, guys. Be safe. Thank you. Thank you, Christian. Bye, guys.